This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Forsaken by Night by Larissa Ione, narrated by Amy Landon. 1. Somewhere outside Lobo's cabin, a lone shot rang out. A hunter, probably, or a poacher. Either way, he was going to check it out. He investigated all gunshots, a habit left over from his life at Moonbound Clan, when he'd been part of the security detail. Now, as an outcast, he still patrolled Washington's damp state forests, avoiding Moonbound warriors as best he could. For the most part, they avoided him, too. And who could blame them? He was damaged goods, and as far as their chief Hunter was concerned, a traitor as well. Hunter was also a huge asshole. Lobo looked over at the sleek silver wolf, lying on the rug in front of the wood stove. She wagged her tail, her ears perking, when in the distance wolves howled into the twilight, their songs joining a symphony of hooting owls, screeching jays, and chittering squirrels that didn't seem to be bothered by the gunfire at all.
"You want to go see what's out there, Taya?"
She jumped up and rushed to the door, nearly knocking him over in her excitement. Once outside, she slipped away into the brush, disappearing like a ghost as he started jogging in the direction the shot had come from. He didn't worry about her. She'd catch up eventually. He stopped atop a rocky ridge to search for signs of human activity in the thousands of acres of Pacific Northwest forest he called home. A welcome breeze blew in from the north, and he lifted his face into it, letting it chase away the day's spring heat like a cougar sprinting after a herd of elk. As a vampire, Lobo didn't feel heat and cold the way humans did. His body was designed to tolerate temperature extremes that would kill wimpy-ass humans. Not that the weather was a concern at this time of year. No. The concern, as always, was that humans were hunting the creatures that lived in the forest. And that included vampires. And wolves. Reaching out with his mind, a talent forbidden by most vampire clans, he located the closest pack. As far as he knew, the wolves couldn't feel him the same way he felt them, and unless they were within 100 yards or so, he couldn't communicate with them either. But once he connected with a wolf face to face, he could locate it with his mind in a matter of seconds, no matter how far away it was. He mentally counted the members of what he knew as the Sequoia Pack. Satisfied that they were all accounted for and hadn't been poached, he let them go and started off again. He hadn't gone more than a couple hundred yards when Taya's presence prickled his skin and whispered through his mind like the soft rustle of leaves on the ground. She was unique, this wolf, an individual the likes of which he'd never encountered in his nearly 120 years of life. He pivoted as she stepped out of the brush. The instant her intense yellow eyes met his, an image flashed in his head. Something that had happened once or twice a day for the last 12 years. The image was always the same. A tall, willowy vampire with dark shoulder-length hair and yellow amber eyes. She was beautiful, mysterious, and always naked.
"You know," he said softly, "I really wish you could tell me about this woman you keep projecting into my brain."
Taya stepped closer, her huge paws landing silently on the soft ground, her powerful shoulders rolling. Another image of the woman popped into his head. She was walking toward him, her gemstone eyes holding him captive as her long bare legs covered the distance between them. Perspiration coated his palms, and he found himself actually reaching for her, curious to learn if that skin was as soft as it looked. Then the image was gone, and Taya's tail was wagging, her tongue lolling out of her mouth as she bounded toward him in big, goofy hops, wanting to run and play. Mystery woman forgotten, he braced himself for impact, and a heartbeat later, wolf paws the size of his hands slammed into his chest as Taya bathed his face with her tongue. Laughing, he ruffled his fingers through her fur and scritched behind her big ears. Sweet maker, he loved this girl. She'd come to him at the lowest point in his life, when he'd realized he had nothing to live for. Nearly dead when he found her, she was so weak from starvation that she couldn't stand. She'd been covered in ice and wounds, likely from other wolves or coyotes, and for days he'd wondered whether it would have been kinder to put her out of her misery instead of nurse her back to health. But she'd survived, and it hadn't taken him long to figure out that she wasn't normal. For a while he thought she might be a skinwalker like himself, able to shift form into that of an animal. It would explain why, even though she was at least 12 years old, she possessed the physique and energy of a yearling wolf. The problem with that particular theory was that, as far as he knew, skinwalkers couldn't remain in animal form for more than a few hours, not even Lobo, who was an extremely powerful skinwalker, perhaps the most powerful ever to have existed, could maintain a morph for more than a day. And even then, the form he chose had a lot to do with how long he could remain in the transformed body. There was, he supposed, another explanation for Taya's uniqueness and the image of the woman. Within the dank underground walls of Moonbound headquarters, he'd been an orphan, raised on tales of vampires whose totem animals could take physical form. And it was said that the vampire who was linked to the animal could communicate through it. If so, and Taya was one of these physical totem animals, her vampire counterpart could be anywhere in the world. She might even be a slave in some human's household. The idea that the female Taya projected into his mind was a slave made him snarl viciously enough for Taya to back away, her ears drooping. "That wasn't for you," he said, giving her another ruffle on the head. "Transgression forgiven?" She wagged her tail and bowed playfully, doing her best to entice him into a run. What the hell? They could run while he searched for whoever had fired the weapon. Grinning, he closed his eyes and concentrated, and a moment later the familiar burn of his muscles stretching and contracting began. Pain racked him, and blackness stole his vision as his bones broke and reformed and his skin sprouted fur. Gradually the pain faded, and he opened his canine eyes to find a different view of the world. Taya nipped his furry shoulder and took off at full speed, ears pinned to her skull, tail streaming behind her. Reveling in his black-furred wolf body, he chased after her, his tail high, his giant paws digging into the soft, moist earth. Elation sang through him. This was what he lived for, the sheer joy of the wind in his face, and a friend to keep him company. "It would be even better if I had a female two-legged friend, too." He stumbled like a cub learning to use its legs, and he swore Taya laughed, as she should. He wasn't cut out to be with other people, and he had no business having those kind of thoughts. He was too dangerous, and no one let him forget that. Taya slowed to snatch up a stick to tease him with, and after a few playful attempts to take the stick from her, he let go of his regrets and surrendered to the simple life he'd learned to love since Taya entered his world as an emaciated, half-frozen wretch more than a decade ago. They ran for miles, chasing deer and rabbits along the way to find the shooter, and once he had to plunge into a river to avoid a grumpy black bear sow with cubs. Taya went in the opposite direction, and as he pulled himself out of the stream, her howl, maybe half a mile away, rose up in the darkening sky. He shook the water out of his fur and started trotting in her direction. But as he cut through a valley that had recently been the site of a massive battle among 3 vampire clans and humans, another gunshot shattered the air. A gut-wrenching howl of pain cut through the forest, freezing him in his tracks. Taya. Terror turned Lobo's marrow to jelly as he morphed back into his vampire form and sprinted in a mad rush through the trees, smashing through branches and leaping fallen logs and low-lying gullies. The sickening metallic tang of wolf blood hit him, even before the stench of the human who had fired the gun. He burst over a ridge, and there, writhing in a rapidly expanding pool of blood, was Taya. Her hip blown open, bone and flesh spilling out through the ragged wound, and standing a few feet away, a man was taking a picture of his handiwork as the wolf flailed in agony. A fucking picture? What kind of a sick asshole allowed an animal to suffer and took photos of it? With a roar of white-hot rage, Lobo slammed into the poacher, knocking him into a tree with so much force that he heard the crack of both wood and bone before the guy crumpled, unconscious, to the ground. Unwilling to waste even the fraction of a second it would take to kill the scumbag, Lobo rushed over to Taya. His heart clenched at the fear and pain swimming in her soulful eyes. Her chest rose and fell with her uneven, shallow breaths, and blood bubbled from her mouth.
"No," he whispered. "Sweet Maker, no." She'd been the light in his life for the last 12 years, the reason he'd gone from merely existing to living,
the reason loneliness hadn't been the catalyst for a swan dive off the nearest cliff. He had to save her. But it wasn't as if there was a veterinarian hanging out over the next hill. The nearest town between here and Seattle was still at least an hour away at top speed. Carrying Taya's 100 pounds of dead weight would slow him considerably, and he didn't think she'd survive the trip, even if he could fly. And even if, by some miracle, a veterinarian could save her, he had little money. He got his food, clothing, and other necessities by trading venison, fish, or handmade bows and arrows. His mind spun with alternatives, but it always came back to one option, the only option. The vampire clan that had banished him decades ago had a doctor. Very gently, he gathered Taya in his arms. She didn't protest or even whimper in pain, which wasn't a good sign. As quickly as he could, he tore through the forest until he reached the hidden moonbound entrance carved into the side of a stone mountain face. Memories assailed him, both good and bad, but mostly the latter, as his time as a moonbound member came back to him. He no longer possessed the mark that would allow him entrance, and he knew no one would let him inside. But there was a way around that. A dangerous way. A forbidden way. In his arms, Taya took a deep, shuddering breath. The sound of her blood dripping onto his boot was louder than it should be, and his gut wrenched in anguish as her life drained from her body. Screw the danger, fuck the forbidden. He had to do this. Closing his eyes, he summoned the image of Moonbound's chief, a powerful vampire descended from the original 12, who, centuries ago, had spread the vampirism virus through North American native tribes. The familiar pain washed over Lobo as his body morphed. But unlike earlier, when he'd shifted into a wolf, the pain was mild. He and Hunter were similar in size and weight, and most likely heritage, lessening the discomfort of his bones breaking and reforming, his joints popping and contorting. When it was over, he was, theoretically, the spitting image of the black-haired, sharp-featured clan leader, right down to the moon-bound symbol that would allow him to enter the clan's residence. He didn't waste another heartbeat standing around, but as he stepped across the threshold, he wondered how much longer he had to live. Merely impersonating another vampire had been bad enough to get him banished from Moonbound 70 years ago. But impersonating a clan chief? That was a death sentence. 2. Lobo jogged down the maze of tunnels as if he owned them, just the way Hunter would do. At first, the hard-packed dirt hallways were empty and dark. But the closer he got to the living quarters, the more finished and bright the tunnels became, and the more people he encountered. They stared, but then Lobo doubted that Hunter often ran through the compound with a dying wolf in his arms.
dying. She's dying.
He breathed through the lump of grief lodged in his throat and tried not to focus on getting caught. Running into Hunter would be especially problematic. He hadn't been here since he'd been banished, but he remembered some of the carvings in the walls and the way roots dangled from the earthen ceiling. Back then, there hadn't been nearly as much light. Rooms had been little more than rustic caves, and there had been far fewer of them. Unsure where exactly he should be going, he headed for what had been a crude first aid station when he'd lived here. To his relief, the door to the room had a first aid cross painted on it, as well as a sign that indicated it was now a medical lab. Good enough. The door was propped open. Beyond it, a silver-haired male he didn't recognize was flipping through papers, and a heavily pregnant female was bending over a microscope, her strawberry blonde hair concealing her face. He didn't know her personally, had only seen her from afar, but he'd spoken with Moonbound members who claimed that Nicole had once been the human enemy, an expert in vampire physiology whose family ran a vampire slavery and research empire. Now, as a vampire herself, she was mated to Hunter's second-in-command, and she was the closest thing the clan had to a real medical doctor.
"Help!" he barked as he rushed to the exam table on the far side of the room. "This wolf was shot!"
Nicole's pregnancy didn't slow her at all, and she was at Taya's side in an instant.
"Poor thing," she murmured as she pulled on surgical gloves.
"What happened? A hunter?"
"Poacher," Lobo spat, practically tasting the acid in his voice. "Wolves are protected."
Unnecessarily taking the life of any animal offended everything that made Lobo who he was, right down to his native blood. Nature deserved respect, reverence. What man did to nature made him heartsick. The silver-haired male appeared at Nicole's side, his white lab coat speckled with a veritable color wheel of stains.
"I'll intubate and start IV fluids. Can you control the bleeding?"
"I don't know." Nicole cursed under her breath and grabbed for a tray of medical equipment on a nearby counter. What kind of coward kills for the sake of killing? Lobo wished he could answer that, but really the world was full of cowards who killed for fun, and there was no explaining it. He ran his hand over Taya's ribcage, hating the choppy rise and fall of her chest as each labored breath rattled in her lungs. So much rage and anguish welled in his throat that he could barely manage a raspy,
"Can you save her?"
The expression on the doctor's face made his chest constrict. "Grant and I will do the best we can."
"Do more than your best,"
Lobo growled. Nicole's silver gaze flickered up to him. "You seem to be rather invested in this wolf's survival." Grant nodded in agreement, his own silver eyes snapping up to study Lobo a little too intently for his liking.
"Shit."
Lobo forced himself to calm down and assume Hunter's haughty arrogance.
"She didn't deserve what that human did to her."
That seemed to placate the doctor, and she gave a curt nod as she went to work on Taya's gunshot wound. Grant's wary gaze made Lobo sweat for another nerve-wracking heartbeat, and then the guy turned his attention back to the wolf. Footsteps out in the hall reminded Lobo that he was on borrowed time. As much as he wanted to stay, he couldn't hold Hunter's image for long, and worse, Hunter himself could show up at any moment. He had to get out of there. But then what? Eventually, either Nicole or Grant would seek out Hunter to update him on the wolf's condition, and the ruse would be exposed. Lobo wasn't worried about himself. He'd deal with the consequences. But what would happen to Taya? He doubted Hunter would harm her. But then Hunter was his father's son, and his father had been a brutal, vicious leader who wouldn't hesitate to slaughter an animal for no reason other than to punish someone who cared about it. And given Lobo's history with Hunter... "Hunter?" Nicole snapped her bloody fingers in front of his face. "Hunter!"
"Yeah, sorry."
He was getting sloppy. He raked his hand through his hair, belatedly realizing he was as covered in Taya's blood as Nicole was.
What is it?
Let us handle this. Her voice was commanding yet compassionate, and he relaxed a little. We'll update you when we can. Grant taped the breathing tube to Taya's muzzle, then Lobo's heart clenched. To see such a powerful, brave, loyal creature reduced to this? Without thinking, he threaded his fingers through Taya's thick ruff and bent to press his forehead against hers.
Be strong, he whispered.
Unable to bear Grant and Nicole's looks of pity, confusion, or suspicion, and even less able to bear watching Taya die, he got the hell out of there. It was only his rubbery legs and not his strength of will that forced him to walk instead of make a mad dash of desperation to the exit. Empty halls gave him a clear path until just as he reached the fork that would take him either to the social center of the compound or to the outside world, a female with gray-streaked, spiky black hair rounded the corner. Sunina. In an instant, icy sweat coated his skin and his ribs ached, as if remembering all the times her foot had cracked them. He'd come here as an orphan, his parents killed by moonbound butchers, and Sunina had enjoyed using him as her personal whipping boy. So when his chance to take revenge had come, he'd seized it, only to have it backfire. He'd caught her betraying the clan, but she'd lied, and the clan's fear of his abilities had been enough to give her the benefit of the doubt. He'd been banished, but that hadn't been enough for Sunina. She'd called for his execution and had tried twice since then to kill him, openly, brazenly. He'd dodged one arrow, but the scar on his thigh would forever remind him that she was serious about wanting him dead. Tensing, he covertly checked her for weapons, but her hands were empty. Hunter? She gave him a respectful nod as she passed, and he blew out a relieved, shaky breath, feeling foolish for worrying she'd recognized him. He was Hunter right now, not Lobo, and he was almost safe. A few more yards. He stepped through the stone doorway and sucked in a huge lungful of fresh evening air. Smelled like victory. He smiled, until he remembered why he'd just risked his life. Holding on to Hunter's form until he could get safely away, he reached out to Taya with his mind as he jogged through the twilight toward the safety of his cabin. If she was conscious, he'd feel her. Nothing. She could be either unconscious or dead. He had no way of knowing. Anger, sorrow, and frustration boiled in his chest, gathering steam until he felt as though he was going to explode. He needed to do something. But what? He felt so helpless and alone. He hadn't truly realized how much Taya had enriched his life until now. Needing to outrun his thoughts, he first slowed down to concentrate on ditching Hunter's skin. As he took a bracing breath to begin the process, a female voice called out to him. Called to Hunter. Son of a bitch. This was the last thing he needed right now. Cursing, he kept going as if he hadn't heard anything. But a moment later, a hand gripped his elbow and gently pulled him to a halt. When he turned around, he nearly groaned at the sight of Hunter's mate, Aelin, standing there in worn jeans, a form-fitting blue tank top, and white running shoes. He'd never met her, but he'd seen her from afar, and he'd gotten bits and pieces of information about her from the moon-bound females he'd fed from on the nights of the full moon. She seemed to be well-liked and smart, and if the intel was accurate, her influence had mellowed Hunter a lot.
What are you doing here?
She reached back and fiddled with the leather band holding her long blonde ponytail.
I didn't expect you back from your meeting with the Graveborn clan until tomorrow night.
Oh, wasn't that just great? No wonder everyone had been staring at him. Hunter wasn't supposed to be here. She frowned at his shirt and hands,
And why are you covered in blood?
She sniffed and added,
Wolf blood.
I found an injured wolf and brought it to Nicole,
he said easily, because that, at least, was the truth. Cocking her head, she studied him for so long that his hands grew clammy and his pulse pounded in his ears. If anyone could see through his disguise, it would be Hunter's mate. Finally, she reached out and tugged on his hair.
This is different. You haven't worn braids in a long time.
She frowned.
And I swear it's longer than it was yesterday.
Oh, shit. He hadn't even thought about Hunter's hair when he'd shifted. He'd simply taken his most prominent memory of Hunter and given him the braids the clan leader sported at formal events, such as banishing skinwalkers from the clan. What had she said about Graveborn? He was at a meeting?
I thought the meeting with Graveborn deserved something more formal.
He swept the braid back over his shoulder so she'd forget the length, which he couldn't explain.
Well, you should wear it like that more often. I like it.
A sly smile curved her mouth, and his mouth went dry as she eased up to him, pressing her body against his.
Since you're already here, do you have time for me?
Her hand slid from his chest to his abs, and then lower, to his waistband.
We can take a dip in the river. You can wash your clothes and let them dry while we mess around.
Her voice went deeper as her blue eyes darkened into tide pools of seduction.
Remember what we did on the riverbank last fall?
He actually did remember that, because he'd come upon them while out on a run in wolf form. He'd watched, probably for longer than was considered polite, as Hunter made love to his mate, with the wilderness surrounding them. Their cries had filled the air with primal sounds of passion, but had filled his chest with longing.
I can't,
he croaked, trying to disengage himself from her. But she stayed with him, and now her hand was slipping under his waistband.
Oh, she said saucily, I know you can.
Shit, she was hot and all, but if he thought that impersonating Hunter would get him dead, Lobo knew that messing with Hunter's mate would get him painfully dead. Very gently, as if she were as delicate as a feather, he gripped her wrist and pushed her away.
Later,
he said, hoping she didn't notice the slight tremor in his voice.
I still have the Graveborn meeting. I promise to find you the second I get back.
Fine. She pouted playfully and dropped her hands to her sides. I guess I should let you build up your strength for tomorrow anyway.
Tomorrow? Oh, right. Tomorrow was the new moon. The night when female vampires needed to feed from males. He hadn't fed a female in months. Taya's jealousy made it too difficult, so he usually avoided it until around the year mark when the headache started. He wasn't sure why that happened, and no doubt Nicole could answer that question. But whatever the reason, he always felt better after donating a little vein juice to a hungry female.
Oh.
Aelin reached out and grasped his wrist, and he nearly jumped out of his skin. He wasn't used to being touched, and he certainly didn't know how Hunter would react.
I have to tell you what I did today.
Lobo glanced around, on alert for anyone who might be approaching. Clear so far, but Moonbound was an active clan, and he doubted it would be long before someone came along.
What did you do?
I opened a portal to Wallowa Lake. And I held it open for 15 full minutes.
He whipped his head around and stared. To his horror, he was unable to stop staring, gaping, really. Surely she wasn't talking about a portal, a method of traveling from one location to another distant location in a matter of seconds?
You? Wait, what?
I know. She bounced on her toes. That's the longest I've held one open, and it's the farthest away I've been able to get.
Well, aside from Somnold's realm, of course. Riker wouldn't let me go through it, because he's still on that kick about wanting me to be able to hold a portal open without it flickering, before we start using them for long-distance travel. But we're close, really close.
Sweet Maker. He'd thought the ability to swiftwalk was nothing but legend. Then again, most people thought skinwalkers were fiction as well. But swiftwalking? Holy shit! With Aelin as his mate, Hunter could rule the damned world. Suddenly the battle among three clans and the humans a few months ago made sense. Moonbound had fought against two large vampire clans and a human army, and had somehow won, while dozens of humans, maybe as many as a couple of hundred, had disappeared off the face of the earth. Had they used one of Aelin's portals to send a human somewhere, like, say, to this Somnolt's realm she'd mentioned?
You know, she said in a hushed voice, if I open a portal for you, you could be at the Graveborn meeting in seconds and Riker will never have to know.
Still rattled by the fact that they were casually talking about something he'd thought was impossible, he stammered out a lame, thanks, but you know Riker will find out.
In reality, he had no idea if the guy would find out or not. Riker, Hunter's second-in-command, hadn't been at Moonbound back when Lobo had been a member, and Lobo had only spoken to the guy a handful of times to share information about human movement in the forests.
Aelin sighed. You're probably right. He's like a drill sergeant in those military movies you make me watch.
She went up on her toes and surprised him with a lingering, tender kiss, so full of affection that his heart ached. Hunter was one lucky bastard. When she broke it off, he was almost disappointed.
Now get going, she said brightly. The sooner you take care of business, the sooner you can come back to me.
She gave him a swat on the ass and a naughty smile. As he walked away, he rubbed his chest, but it did nothing to assuage the jealousy and longing that throbbed just under his breastbone. He'd been alone for so long, with only Taya as company, and as much as he loved the wolf, snuggling with her by the fire wasn't the same as snuggling with a female of the same species. When Hunter kicked him out of the clan, Lobo had lost everything, including the hope that one of the clan females would become his mate. Mentally giving himself a kick, feeling sorry for himself wasn't acceptable, he headed back to his cabin to pray to whatever god would listen that Taya pulled through.
3. Whatever Taya was sleeping on was soft. At least it was softer than the cabin floor she was used to when it was too warm to curl up at the foot of Lobo's bed. Yawning, she lifted her hind leg to scratch her ear, but something was wrong with it. Her gritty eyes stung as she peeled them open, and then she hastily shut them again when bright light nearly blinded her. Did Lobo have all the lights on? She tried again, blinking to focus her blurry vision. As the haze faded, a million colors assaulted her vision, and she realized she wasn't stretched out in front of the fire in Lobo's cabin. She was lying on a pile of blankets on the floor of a hospital? Or a laboratory? IV supplies and bandages were scattered around, as if she'd ripped them away in a struggle. Would Lobo have brought her to a veterinarian for some reason? Maybe that would explain why her leg wasn't working right. Oh, Jesus! Her leg! It wasn't covered in fur. It was the wrong shape, the wrong size. It was a human leg. Panicked, her heart racing and her breath coming in panting puffs, she held her hand in front of her face, her hand, not her paw. Every coherent thought scattered as she scanned her naked body over and over, unable to believe she was looking at herself, no matter how many times she counted her fingers and toes. Could it really be that after 12 winters of living as a wolf, she was human again? She licked her lips, catching her tongue on sharp fang tips. Right, not human. Vampire.
Her mind spun as she tried to corral the memories that had grown distant over the years. She'd been human once, working as a dental assistant while attending college to become a dentist. And then her mom had died, and she'd been bitten by a vampire. She'd gotten sick, had spent weeks in a haze of nausea and fever as she transitioned into a vampire and then, shockingly, into a wolf. After that, she shook her head, hating how clear her memories were now that she was no longer canine. It was as if someone had remastered an old staticky black-and-white movie to make it ultra-high def with hyper-vibrant color. There was so much pain in her past, and without the filter of her wolf brain to tone it down, it was nearly overwhelming. But she supposed that, at the moment, her past was the least of her concerns. Right now, she was in a strange place. She was naked, and she was freezing her bare butt off. Shivering, she attempted to wrap one of the blankets around her shoulders. It took 3 tries and way too much concentration to make her hands behave like hands and not like paws, but she finally managed to cover herself. But she was still on the floor. Awkwardly, she reached up with one hand to grab the edge of the counter. Her muscles, stiff and unaccustomed to this new form, seized in protest as she hauled herself to her feet. She swayed violently. Thank God for the counter, or she'd have keeled over. She stood there for a moment, sweating and wheezing, allowing herself time to adjust to standing upright, and seeing things from twice the height she was used to. What now? She wasn't sure what to do besides run in a blind panic around the room. Just breathe. You've been through worse. Yes, she had. And as her mother used to say, panic leads to mistakes. Know your surroundings. Get the lay of the land and always have a plan to escape. Her mother should know, given that she'd been on the run from the government since the day Taya was conceived. Taya willed herself to calm down and look around. There were rows of counters and tables covered with machines, computers, and lab equipment, but not a single window, and only one door. She got the uneasy feeling she was underground. But where? Tentatively, she released her death grip on the counter and took a step toward the door. Then another, and another. Her first steps on 2 feet in more than a decade. Her feet padded unsteadily on the hard floor as she shuffled across it. If she could just peek outside the room, maybe she'd get a better handle on her situation. But before she was even halfway across the room, the sound of voices drifted through the closed door.
"I'll tell Riker you're looking for him," a female voice called out. "He's meeting me here in a minute."
The door whispered open. With a startled yelp, Taya hit the floor, taking cover behind a cabinet. "Oh, shit," the newcomer gasped. "The wolf?" Suddenly, a strawberry blonde woman came around the corner, stopping short and gasping again when she saw Taya crouching on the floor. For a few terrifying heartbeats, Taya stared at the other female, unable to move. More heartbeats. More staring.
Who are you?
The other female asked, and that fast, Taya snapped out of the grip fear had on her. She leaped to her feet and darted toward the door, but the woman moved like a snake. Her fingers dug into Taya's shoulder and spun her hard into a wall. Terrified and confused, Taya went on the attack, sinking her teeth into the other woman's arm and shaking hard. Blood spurted into her mouth, and even as her mind registered disgust, she moaned as the rich, silky nourishment coated her tongue. The female screamed in pain, and Taya went into a fresh spin of panic. People were bound to hear this, and then what? What would happen to her? Who were these people? Shoving with all her strength, Taya slammed the female into what looked like an X-ray machine. And then she watched in horror as the woman crumpled to the floor, her mangled arm cradling her swollen belly. Oh, shit. Pregnant. The female was pregnant. Torn between wanting to make sure the female was okay and wanting to run, Taya hesitated. The pounding of feet outside made her decision. She tore out of the room, bounced off a big guy who was heading for the lab at a dead run, and skidded around a corner, belatedly realizing she'd lost the blanket and was naked as a newborn. Whatever. She sped blindly through the maze of hallways, careening off walls and people as she ran. She came to a Y-split in the passage and, fighting her instinct to keep running, forced herself to slow down and take a deep breath. A million different scents filtered through her nostrils, from the musky tang of sex and the succulent odor of cooking meat to the crisp green scent of outside fresh air from the tunnel on the right. The sound of running footsteps once again spurred her into action. She sprinted down the right tunnel and followed the fresh air until she burst into the welcome sunshine. She didn't stop. She didn't think she'd ever stop. Accompanied by the chirps of birds high in the trees, she bolted into the forest, easing up only when she caught the scent of smoke and roasting meat and realized she was running toward a human campsite. "Okay, chill out, think, get your act together." Her mother hadn't merely been good of full advice. She used to make Taya practice using her brain during an emergency. And as Taya crouched against a fallen tree, she took back every complaint she'd ever uttered during those exercises. Think. Breathe. List your options. That last thing was easy, because she had very few options and only one of them made sense. She had to find Lobo. But how was he going to react? He knew her only as a wolf. He'd even named her Taya. She had basically been his pet for 12 years, and now she was a vampire. A vampire who had been human until only a month before she shifted into a wolf and couldn't shift back. A vampire who was in love with a man who knew her only as a canine. God, how was she going to explain this? Her stomach contracted sharply, reminding her that she was truly a vampire and she needed blood, desperately. But did she dare risk approaching the human campsite by herself? She didn't know how to hunt or feed. She'd only fed from one human, a sleeping homeless man she'd attacked during the mindless insanity of her transformation. The campers would be healthy, awake, and perhaps even armed. Worse? Something besides hunger was gnawing at her, a need she couldn't quite identify, one that required blood. But also, something else. Male? An instant ache bloomed deep in her chest and in her pelvis at that thought. Of course, if what she'd learned about vampirism was true, it wasn't human blood she would crave during the new moon phase. She automatically looked up at the sky, but the only celestial body hovering overhead was the sun. Still, her instincts were telling her what she needed. She needed to feed from a male vampire. Lobo's handsome face filled her vision, his glossy black hair pushed away from his neck so a female could feed from his vein. Possessive anger clawed at her the way it always had when she found him with a female from one of the nearby West Coast clans. Even as a wolf, with dulled vampire senses and memories, she'd understood that he needed the blood exchanges to survive. But that hadn't meant she'd liked it. Cursing, she started toward his cabin. This was going to get interesting. 4. 2 days spent with Graveborn Clan's chief had given Hunter a powerful need for a shot of whiskey, and a few hours in bed with Aelin. Ever since the battle involving humans and multiple vampire clans had shifted the balance of power within the vampire community, the clans had been attempting to set aside their differences and build alliances, with Hunter taking on the unofficial role of leader. But despite the growing call to unite the clans, the process wasn't an easy one. Too many egos, too much distrust and bad blood, and too many different lifestyles made it nearly impossible to put together a coalition to defeat the humans who had enslaved so many of Hunter's people. At least Graveborn, like Moonbound, followed the way of the crow instead of the way of the raven. so ideology hadn't gotten in the way of negotiations. In addition, Graveborn's leader knew as well as Hunter did that their ideology was false. They were both aware of the truth behind their origins, and both thought it was bullshit that, with the exception of their mates, they couldn't even reveal it to their own clan members. Really, what had caused the most tension between Moonbound and Graveborn was that Hunter had refused to force one of his warriors to wed the other clan chief's daughter. For now, though, Graveborn would support Hunter's authority and had pledged to fight as part of a united front against humans if... when the time came. Hunter was pretty sure that the time would come far too soon. The entrance to Moonbound's headquarters was a welcome sight, especially given the timing. Tonight was the new moon, and even though it marked the time of month when females needed to feed, males felt the need like a vibration in the soul. It was an instinct not only to feed, but to provide. It was an instinct so powerful that the moment he and his contingent of warriors stepped inside the safety of Moonbound's earthen walls, they went their separate ways instead of holding an arrival briefing, with Hunter making a beeline to his quarters to surprise Aelin. He found her curled up on the sofa reading a book, but she bounded to her feet and threw herself into his arms before he even closed the door. "Now that is a greeting." He swung her into his arms and spun her as she laughed. Damn, he loved the sweet sound of her voice. He hated being away from her. But until she'd perfected the art of summoning portals, he didn't want her to accompany him on missions that could potentially be dangerous. "I've missed you," he said as he set her down and bent to nuzzle her neck. "Not as much as I missed you," she said into his ear, her voice dripping with unspoken naughty promises. "But you'll be happy to know that when I checked on your wolf earlier this morning, she was still alive." Frowning, he pulled back and stared down at her.
"My wolf?"
"Well, I know it's not your wolf, but she's hanging on. For such severe injuries, it's amazing she survived this long. Nicole hopes..."
"Aelin."
He shook his head, utterly lost.
"I have no idea what you're talking about."
"The wolf." Her smile faltered a little and her brow came down in confusion. "The one you brought to Nicole yesterday."
"I didn't bring Nicole a wolf. It must have been someone else."
She looked at him as if he were crazy. "I saw you with that wolf's blood all over you. We talked about it, don't you remember?" She reached up and pressed her hand against his forehead as if checking for fever. "Are you okay?"
Was he okay? Aelin was the one who should have her temperature checked. "Aelin, honey, I wasn't here yesterday. Maybe you had a really vivid dream?"
Shadows flickered in her eyes as concern for him grew. She probably saw the same shadows in his eyes. "Maybe we should go talk to Nicole."
"I think that's a good idea."
What was wrong with her? Maybe opening portals came with side effects. If so, she was never doing that again. As they walked toward the lab, Aelin's limp, keeping the pace slower than he'd have liked, Hunter watched her warily, and she eyed him with just as much concern.
"Aelin, are you sure you saw me yesterday?"
"Not just saw. Touched." She took his hand, and he found more comfort in that small gesture than anything else she could have done. "I know the feel of your lips on mine, Hunter. I felt you." A knot formed in his belly as his alarm grew like a fast-moving cancer. Something was very, very wrong here.
"I swear it wasn't me."
Aelin, her skin already pale thanks to her mother's Scandinavian heritage, lost even more color in her face. "You're starting to scare me, Hunter. It was you. Ask Nicole or Grant. You talked to both of them when you brought in the injured wolf."
Criminy.
Had he crossed into an alternate universe, somewhere between Graveborn's territory and here?
Aelin...
He broke off at the sound of pounding footsteps coming up and pulled Aelin to a halt as Aiden, one of Moonbound's best archers and senior warriors, rounded the corner at a dead run.
"There's an intruder in the compound."
Aiden skidded to a halt and paused to catch his breath as Hunter went on instant alert.
"What happened?"
"It was a female. She attacked Nicole."
He cursed, his frustration putting a sharp edge on his words.
"We've been searching for the last 15 minutes, but we haven't turned up anything. I'm sounding the alarm."
"Fuck. Initiate the intruder protocol."
Hunter seized Aiden's arm before he could take off.
"Where's Nicole? Is she okay?"
Aiden jerked his thumb behind him.
"In the lab, with Riker."
Hunter and Aelin hurried to the lab, where they found Nicole sitting at her desk holding a cloth soaked in blood against her head. Her other arm, bandaged from wrist to elbow, cradled her belly as Riker held a glass of water to her lips.
Rage bubbled up in Hunter at the idea that someone had assaulted a pregnant female,
right here, inside the clan headquarters where everyone should be safe.
This was his clan, his people, and ultimately his failure. If anything happened to Nicole or the baby, he'd never forgive himself. Whoever had done this was going to pay in blood.
"Tell me everything,"
he ground out as he stopped next to Riker and Nicole. Riker's silver eyes burned like steel shards of murder.
"Someone broke into the lab and attacked Nicole when she came inside. Aiden said it was a female. Did either of you recognize her?"
"I've never seen her before," Nicole said, her voice laced with pain. Riker shook his head viciously.
"I didn't get a good look at her. The bitch nearly ran me over in the hall."
He set down the glass hard enough to splash water all over the counter and floor.
"I should have grabbed her. I should have fucking questioned why anyone would be running naked from a lab where there'd been a shit ton of noise and screaming. But all I could hear was Nicole crying for help and..."
"Hey." Nicole took Riker's hand and brought it to her cheek, calming him with her touch. "It's okay. This will all heal. The baby and I are fine." She shifted around to talk to Hunter, wincing as she moved, which only made Riker go taut again. "The wolf is missing, too. The woman who attacked me might have set it loose in the compound. I'm sorry, Hunter." She smiled weakly, and Hunter cursed silently. She shouldn't be in this position. "But the good news is that if the wolf is running around, it's on the mend."
"Okay, so the wolf Aelin had mentioned was real, but he knew damned well that he wasn't the one who'd brought it to Moonbound for help."
"Nicole, this is very important," he said, kneeling so they were at eye level. "Aelin said I brought you the wolf yesterday. Did you actually talk to me?"
"You don't remember?"
Nicole looked at him the same way Aelin had, like he was crazy, and frankly, he was starting to feel that way. "You were very insistent that Grant and I save the animal." For just a moment, he considered the possibility that he'd somehow spirit-traveled in his sleep. But seeing how he'd never manifested himself someplace else, not to mention that the ability was considered myth in native and vampire communities, he quickly dismissed the idea. Which meant that either Nicole, Grant, and Aelin were suffering from a shared delusion, or someone had impersonated him using one hell of a disguise.
"Whoever it was you both talked to yesterday," Hunter growled, "it wasn't me."
He straightened, his gaze drawn to a bed of blood-stained towels and blankets on the floor next to a dish of water. Must have been the wolf's bed.
"I was with the Graveborn's chief all day. Whoever brought in the wolf tricked you into thinking they were me."
But why? And who was the female who had assaulted Nicole?
"Oh, shit."
Aelin's fingers trembled as she touched them to her lips.
"I kissed him."
Instant, white-hot rage seared his skin. Someone had dared to touch his mate, to kiss her, to...
"What else?" he barked. "What else did you do with him?"
The blood drained from Aelin's face, and he backed off, kicking himself for being such an ass,
but the thought that someone could so easily take advantage of Aelin left him so angry he was shaking with the force of it. Fuck. I'm sorry, Aelin. He shoved a hand through his hair. I didn't mean to yell at you. None of this is your fault.
No, she rasped. It's not you. I was thinking about what I would have done with him if he hadn't been in a hurry to go. I wanted to go down to the river, where, you know.
Yeah, he knew. The fact that she might have recreated a recent, especially raw, primal lovemaking session with the bastard was tempered by the fact that she hadn't. So instead of blowing a gasket, he drew her against him and held her close.
Excuse me, Nicole said, but how is any of this even possible?
Magic. Aelin remained plastered against him, her entire body shaking, but her voice was strong and sure. The Mystic Keeper at Shadowspawn could make you believe that one person had turned into another.
Skepticism flashed in Nicole's expression. Despite all she'd seen since becoming a vampire and joining Moonbound, she still insisted that science could explain everything. Mystic Keepers often use hallucinogenic herbs to...
The sound of Nicole's voice faded in his ears as Hunter stared at the wolf bed. This was bad. Really bad. The damage someone could do while wearing Hunter's skin could be...
Skin. He sucked in a sharp breath. Skinwalker.
Holy shit. Neither magic nor hallucinogenic substances had done this. A vampire shifter had. A vampire shifter he'd banished long ago for impersonating another clan member.
Son of a bitch. This wasn't a result of magic or chemistry, Hunter blurted, interrupting Nicole's lengthy explanation of how hallucinogens worked. It was a skinwalker. It's possible he's the one who brought in the wolf while disguised as me, and who then attacked Nicole in the guise of a female.
Nicole groaned, but not from pain. Please don't tell me a skinwalker is what I think it is.
Unfortunately, he couldn't do that, and he felt a little bad because her science brain wasn't going to handle this well.
Skinwalkers come from Native American lore that originated with vampires, he explained hastily, anxious to go find the bastard. They can shapeshift into animals, but usually only their own totem animal.
Aelin pulled back. But not all of them are limited to shifting into beasts. Before I was born, my father executed a skinwalker who could impersonate humans and other vampires.
I banished one from Moonbound, Hunter said, his voice bitter to his own ears. But maybe I should have taken a cue from your father.
Riker frowned.
Are you talking about Lobo?
Is that the strange guy who lives in the woods with a wolf?
Aelin asked.
Hunter nodded. That wolf has to be the one he brought in. It's the only thing that makes sense. He shifted into me so he could get inside.
Nicole considered that. He must have come back this morning to check on the wolf while disguised as someone else. But why was he naked? And female?
Doesn't matter.
Riker helped Nicole to her feet, keeping one arm protectively around her.
He attacked you. He's going to answer for that. He's got a lot to answer for, Hunter said.
The door burst open, and Aiden's lover, Takis, jogged inside, his dark hair hidden under a Seattle Seahawks cap.
Sir, we've tracked Nicole's assailant into the forest. Should we follow?
A mental image of a Lobo kissing Aelin popped into Hunter's head and triggered his prey drive.
We don't follow. He started toward the armory. We hunt.
5. Lobo had spent the last 16 hours pacing the length of his tiny cabin. It wouldn't be long before Hunter and a team of his warriors showed up at his door to drag him back to Moonbound. But he wished they'd hurry. He needed to see Taya, and the only reason he wasn't freaking out right now was that he sensed that the wolf was alive. The puzzling thing was that she felt different. her energy muted and scattered. It was as if she were half a world away and in no one particular direction.